Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk. Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining my sister, my friend, tonight. We are here to uplift, encourage, and be assistance and give resources for all our sisters who have questions or need information or just need someone to talk to. We thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight we are dedicating our show to Mother's Day, and we're going to have conversation, Beverly and I, or whoever else is going to call us tonight or listen in. Please feel free to call us at 310-982-4126 and join us tonight. We will be talking about mothers of the past, mothers of the present, and the mothers of the future. So we're going to start. Beverly, go ahead and say hello to our listening audience.
Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is doing good this evening.
Hoping you're having a blessed day. Beverly, we want to start off tonight just thanking God for all the mothers that we have and all those that have gone on, all those that are yet to be mothers. So with bowed heads, we're going to open tonight with a word of prayer. Dear God, we just thank you tonight for this opportunity to come on Blog Talk Radio and being encouraging and being an uplift to our listening audience. God, we thank you that you have provided us this opportunity. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just waking us up this morning and placing our feet on solid ground and to find out that everything was well. We thank you for protecting us today as we went to and fro. God, we just thank you for everything, the small, the big, the in-between, just for your mercy and your grace, dear God, that you give us every day, the new mercies that you provide, we just thank you for it. Father, today we're coming to give thanks for our mothers. We're coming to give thanks for our mothers that have gone on. We're coming to give thanks for the upcoming mothers or those new mothers that you have given a life to. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to say thank you and to thank you for providing us with mothers that have been inspiration in our lives. Dear God, would you please just be with us tonight? Come in, send your Holy Spirit into our midst tonight and help us to have a great show on mothers. These are the blessings we ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, Beverly, I thank God tonight for my mother. She is 83 years old and still moving around pretty good and still in her right mind. And she's doing good, and she's one of them old-fashioned way-back moms. She's an old-school mom, and she's just very straightforward, and she will tell you what's on her mind. And I thank God for her tonight. She's just, instilled some things in me that I thank God for, although she didn't actually raise me, but my grandmother raised me, and I thank God for my grandmother now. That's where I got all of my cooking skills, all of my knowledge about my Father in heaven, and she just provided me with good background, good structure, and I thank God for her tonight that my grandmother instilled all that into me. And also I thank God for my mother who came along and just was her backbone, and she just continued to bless me with extra knowledge that my grandmother had given me, and she instilled in me so a little more moral values, and it was just a good upbringing. So I just thank God for that.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yes, ma'am. I want to admonish our listening audience to give us a call at 310-982-4126. And let's just give thanks tonight for our mothers. I see we have a caller joining us as soon as I get her online. We're going to say good evening to Minister Henderson. How are you tonight?
I am pressing my way, but I'm here.
Well, praise God. Thank you for joining us. Tonight we're talking about our mothers. We're talking about mothers of the past and the present and those that God has given young mothers tonight. So would you like to have a comment, or Beverly, would you like to jump in?
Oh, no, let Sonara go ahead.
Oh, we're speaking of in what capacity?
Any capacity of your mother. Are you going to give thanks for her, or do you want to give us some tidbits of how she trained you and raised you and what she instilled in you? Just whatever you want to speak on about her tonight.
Okay. Well, my prayers today, you know, it's been a little difficult because this would be my first Mother's Day without my mom. My mom passed last August. And upbringing was great. I was raised in a Christian home, very supportive mom, very active mom, and very firm in what she said, what she believed, as well as what she taught. She was, her motto is, put God first and the rest will fall in place. That's what she told all of us. It's nothing you can't do. You can be whatever and whomever you'd like to be. My mom married my dad at 17. I'm the youngest of three. She did not graduate high school, but she went back and got her GED and became a DISD math teacher for the special ed department, and she retired from DISD. She got her degree in teacher certification, the whole 9 yards, very active in church. And but the main thing I loved about my mom is that my mom was a true Titus II woman. She was not a busy woman. She never went from house to house. She never walked past her own, the end of her own driveway. And even though everybody on the street knew her, but she stayed in her confines of her drive to her yard, to her front door. She never went over to anybody's house for coffee, and I really like that because I find myself like that today. I don't have a problem knowing my neighbors. But being at your house and all that, that's just not part of my makeup. And so that's one thing that I really, really commend her on, that she was not a busybody. And she really helped the young ladies in the church, teaching them how to respect their husbands and love their children.
Amen. Wonderful. That is something marvelous to take from your upbringing, because if we bring it into today's vernacular, we see a lot of these older moms that are not old school like our moms was, or our grandmother, which I said my grandmother raised me. But we don't see that today with the younger moms. They don't take the time to be structured with the kids. They are mostly busybodies. They're from here to there and everywhere. And you do have a few old school moms. I have to give credit to my oldest granddaughter's mom, because she is an old school mom. She was very strict on her children as they were growing up. She raised four. Well, she still has three left at home with her, but my oldest granddaughter, who is 20, and her brother, who is 21, they like 6 months apart. I can truly say that she instilled morals and values in them, whereas most 20 and 21-year-olds today don't have much of that. They'll say anything, do anything, disrespect their elders, and that's one thing that I can say that she did for them. Those two kids are, from that generation, are the best two kids that I know at the present time for that age, that 20 and 21.
And
because she was very old school, and she believed in children respecting their parents and respecting their elders, and that's one thing that I want to talk about tonight: the respect that we were instilled in us to respect our elders, because you know that if we got out of line or we said
mm-hmm.
something wrong or if we even just looked wrong or did something wrong, we were going to get it. If it was disrespecting our parents or our elders, if we just crossed in front of them, or if you know, that said, excuse me, or yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, or just being respectful, it was on in our world. We couldn't even get away with that. You know, and that's a lot
You're
of
right.
stuff to today with the kids today. They don't have that kind of respect. They don't have that kind of moral upbringing. And I thank God today that my grandparents and my mom and all the people that surrounded me, they took the time to instill that in me, because your days will be numbered if you don't, okay?
mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I could always remember. If you don't respect your parents, your days are numbered.
Right.
You know, you can't
right.
live a good, fruitful life, and I thank God for that. And I think that if we would teach our children coming up today more of the values that we were instilled, it would be a better society. We wouldn't have all these children going astray and doing what they want to do. They, you know what? They don't even have value today for their lives. They don't even care.
Right.
You know, I can't understand that. You know, that behooves me. And I wish that we would have a caller to call us at 310-982-4126 and tell me something about why. You know, either and Mr. Henderson or Beverly, can y'all expand on that? Why they don't have the care for their lives, or what is it?
Well, I remember us having a show, a forum, not too long ago, sometime last year, when we were talking about, remember when we were talking about when they're being cougars?
Uh-huh.
Well, we have to realize from our time to now, the mothers are getting younger and younger. Remember we talked about babies having babies?
Mm-hmm.
So the level of respect is gone because there's so much hurt and so much pain. I can't be an attentive mother because I'm nursing my pain. And while I'm nursing my pain, that newborn baby is steady growing up. But it's growing up without leadership, without guidance, without teaching. Because I'm over here nursing my pain, trying to find who I am, where I'm going, and I still have no idea because I have no direction. Well, I have no direction because my mom is still out there trying to find herself. So it just begins to be like a cycle going from generation to generation to generation.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. I encountered a young lady the other day. She's 33, and she's a grandmother.
33?
Yes.
And already a grandmother?
Yes. So see what I'm saying? So it's getting younger and younger. So the younger the mom, if I have no sense of direction, sense of guidance, I'm still a kid myself.
Yep.
Fernanda, 33, true. Goes from the burden of maybe the 16, 17, 18-year-old now been added on couple with a child. And in the midst of the mom is 33 and maybe the daughter is 18 or 17, they're both finding themselves, but the baby is still growing up in the midst of both of these adults who's supposed to be teaching and rearing the child. Is growing up and going to begin to look for herself. You know, like I just first said about my mom, she married my dad at 17, even though she didn't finish school, but old school parents went right into the role that they married into. They may have desired to do other things, but they stayed focused on what they were. I'm a housewife. I have children. This is my first ministry. This is my first responsibility. If have you, this is my first job. So even though in the back of their minds they had things they desired to do, but they didn't allow it to overshadow the things that they had gotten into, such as my mom with marriage.
Mm-hmm. true.
So when my mom was a housewife until I started first grade. Then she started college and got a GED and a teacher certification, her degree, and started teaching and everything. So in other words, she was willing to put herself on hold for what she decided to do until all three of her babies were in school. Then she thought about herself.
Okay. Well, do you think that that would work in today's society, that if these younger mothers would put themselves on hold until their kids was of age for them to start living a life for themselves, would that bring back some of that old school virtue or respect? Or do you think that would that work?
I believe it would, because the opportunities today are so much more greater. And then not only that, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What am I saying? As the parent respect their children, what do the children do? They begin to honor, respect you in return. So what does that make the father do? Shower you with blessings, because you're taking care of what he has given you to be a good steward over, which are your offspring.
Okay.
But if I'm running pillow to post, and tonight they're at your house, and tomorrow night they're at Miss Beverly's house, yeah, they're with someone, but they're not with me. And whose character are they going to pick up? They're going to pick up the character and personality from the homes in which you put them in, not necessarily me.
Okay.
So is it doable? Yes, I believe it's doable.
Okay. Well, I do think so also. Beverly, do you have a comment on that?
No, not really. One of the things that I think the problem is today is that, like Sonara was saying, the mothers are so young today, but the mothers have always been kind of young. If you go back and look at history, a lot of the mothers from times got married as young as 15 years old. I know I have a cousin that got married at 15. I think her husband was like 16 or 17. I have aunts that talked about getting married very early. So it really wasn't that they got married so early, it's that they got the training to learn how to, as we came up, our parents and we did, you didn't jump from place to place unless your mother was unsteady, but the grandmothers usually had a home, and everybody learned how to sweep a floor, wash a dish, take out the trash. Your kids have responsibilities. Everybody had chores. And people set out to eat, and they talked about what went on today. On Friday, we had a show when they were talking on street talk. They were talking about young girls today, when the young girls 10 and 11 become, their body becomes aware of they're becoming into young womanhood. And the women were talking about whether they tell the young girls, do they tell them anything, or do they just tell them to stay away from boys? And I was telling them that oftentimes the mothers of old, they didn't explain everything to you about sex. They didn't explain anything to you about womanhood. But what they did tell you is that when you were coming into that time in your life, they would sit down and tell you about what the body's doing, how the body's reacting, and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And a lot of times they would keep you busy, so at that time of life you would be busy and learning what it meant to become a woman. It's more to becoming a woman than just, like you tell the boys, it's more to becoming a woman than just having babies. It's more to that is just becoming sexually permissive. There's a lot to become a mother. I was looking on here and I found a form that says, what is a mother? A mother has so many things to do, from washing and ironing, cleaning, to tying a shoe. She scrubs, she mends, she cooks and sews. She bathes the children and washes their clothes. When they forget to wash their faces clean and their clothes are the muddiest you've ever seen, who repairs the clothes and scrubs them like new? Of course, that is what a mother will do. Who becomes the doctor or the nurse when they are ill, applying a bandage or giving them a pill? Who becomes a teacher when a child has homework she must never, her duty shirt? Who becomes a detective to find a toy or a book for missing things she must look and look? Who becomes a listener to every heartache, to every accomplishment that a child makes? Who scolds their children when they are naughty or remind them of God when they are haughty? Who tends their family with love and patience, too? Of course, that is what a mother will do. I think a lot of times the young mothers today, they don't do the washing and the ironing and the cleaning and mending. That kept the young mothers' times before. That kept them busy. It's an honor thing, jumping from house to house. They do that now. We didn't do that. We weren't trying to do that. You didn't go in your friend's house unless mom told you it was okay to go into your friend's house. And so when you were on Saturday morning, you learned how to do chores. You learned how to mop. You learned how to clean out the refrigerator. You learned how to wash clothes. I saw today this kid was learning how to wash on an ironing board, on a scrub board. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember those days. So a lot of times our grandparents, our great aunts and uncles, what they did was they took you with them when they did things. They kept you busy. They kept your mind busy, your hands busy. And you learned a lot about living. And so when you got to be a teenager, you understood about why your body felt the way it did. You understood when mom told you certain things. Sometimes you didn't like it, but you learned to understand and accept it. But a lot of times now, mothers of 33 are trying to compete with their 18-year-old daughter. They're trying to party, and the 18-year-old is out there partying, and the grandbaby is someplace. So I think a lot of times the mothers these days, they're not doing the washing and ironing. They're not sitting down to do the homework. They're not preparing the meals. You don't see families sitting down today as they did. So a lot of knowledge that the grandparents that we had, aunts and uncles that we have, what they taught you, they're not teaching the young women today. The young women today, they don't want to be told anything. They claim that they know it. We probably did the same thing. But when mother talked to you, you sat down and you listened, even though you didn't might not want to hear it, you listened. So there's a lot of difference today, because there aren't that many grandmothers. You even got grandmothers out here, you know, now. So there's a whole different generation of women, but the older women have to be the one to do the teaching. Because if we don't teach and we don't give them the knowledge and we don't give them the wisdom that God has given to us, we're going to have several generations of lost young women out here.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, that is very true for today's generation. But how do we capture them? How do we get their attention and try to instill these values into them? What do we do?
Well, I think one thing is to, a lot of young girls today don't have any self-esteem. They're pushed by their peer pressure. They're pushed by the pressure from the young men to be something other than what they should be. And there is no one teaching them to be all that you can be. Like I was talking to you the other day about empowering young women. We have to teach our young women that there's more to life than having babies, more to life than wearing all these tight clothes and high heels and, you know, gobs and gobs of makeups and going to these parties. There's more to life than that. And we have to teach them what it takes to live a long life. Like you said before, a lot of them just don't care. But they don't really, I don't think they really understand what life is all about. I think they just think, okay, I live, I have my fun, and I die. Because that's the way they talk with it. And you're like, oh, you tell them not to do something, oh, I don't care. You know, they don't have any real purpose or real understanding what life is all about and why they're here. And so they just want to have their fun, get it over with, and go on. They don't have any real purpose.
I would like to say something. Lewis. As Miss Lewis knows, we just had the pink tie affair. And I thank God that majority of my family, God has brought back into the kingdom, and they're members of my church. And they were at the pink tie affair as well. And since they've joined within the last 9 months, I would say, they continue to say the same statement. And you know what that is?
No,
I didn't know you could have this much fun serving God.
Yep, I've heard that.
I've taken them to prayer breakfasts. I've taken them to teas. I've taken them to brunches and lunches. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about of other fellowships, of other churches, and things of that nature. And at the Pink Tie Affair, said before last, we had the swing out instructor that did the swing out and the line dancing. And I tell them, baby, it's not what you do. It's how you do what it is that you're doing. God look at man, look on the outward appearance, but God look on your heart. Nobody was shaking a tail feather trying to get no man's attention. We were celebrating what God has done for the ministry, for the fundraiser, to help us help other families. And they just keep saying, Pastor, I just never knew that you really could have this much fun in the kingdom. And I think to piggyback on the back of what Miss Beverly is saying, they just think it's the party and you live and then you die. Because they just have not been shown a different way to have enjoyment, fulfillment of life. We already know Jesus is the answer. That's hands down. For anything, any deliverance, salvation, anything, whatever it is, we know that he's the answer. But as you first say to LaTandra, how do we reach them? And the only way we can reach them is just by letting our light so shine that they may see our good works but glorify our Father which is in heaven. And it's just by looking and saying, why are you smiling? What got you like that? And then we can tell them about our Savior. And we say, come see a man. You know?
All right.
And that's how it all begins. But our light must be shining.
Yes, ma'am.
So now they're beginning to bring their other counterparts, meaning other young women and other young men to the church. Because now the joy is there, so what are they going to do? They're going to go out and tell their peers.
Mm-hmm. So that's the start.
And it's just domino effects from there.
Mm-hmm. That's the beginning point, to let our
light
so shine.
That's the beginning point, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that they will know that we can mm-hmm. all fellowship together and have a good time. And
exactly.
If we can get these mothers on one accord, I've got a problem with, it shouldn't be, but I guess it's my own little pet peeve, mothers sending their children to church instead of bringing them themselves. Mm-hmm, because my grandmother took me and I learned a lot from that when she took me, and I would love to see a lot of the younger mothers bring their children instead of having the grandmothers that are raising these children
mm-hmm.
take them to church and introduce them to Jesus Christ, because they need to know too. Instead of sending
Correct.
Them, they don't know that they can learn a lot through being there themselves. And that's one thing that really is one of my little pet peeves. Don't send your child. Take them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
be there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Show them that you are concerned about Christ just the same as you were concerned about them learning about Christ, because you can't show them anything if you're not there or if you're not participating in what you're trying to get them to participate in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a little pet peeve I have, because when
mm-hmm.
grandmama took me to church, took you to church, why you can't take my kids to church? Because you need to take them. Because you need
right.
to know something about Jesus Christ. You need to know how to live before these kids so they will understand the way you're living before them, and then both of you can have the same experience together. You know, that,
right.
And I think that if a lot of these younger mothers would do that for themselves. They would learn, and the children wouldn't be so out of sync and out of touch.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
With living, you know. It does. Mm-hmm. It does make a difference. Because if you, the way you live before your children is the way that they're going to perceive life. You know,
correct.
If you is out there doing all kind of things, they're going to think that's the way you're supposed to live. And that's going to think, they're going to think that's the norm. Oh, well, my mama did it, so I can do it. Do as I say do. That's what their thing is. Don't do as I do. Do as I say do.
Do as I
but
say.
If you,
exactly.
Yeah. But if you're not doing what they need to be seen done, you know, how can they?
Right.
Because they just going to say, well, she telling me to do one thing and she doing another. That's a double standard.
Yeah, and they don't mind telling you either.
Right, and they will tell you.
The children today are very vocal.
Yes, and I understand that was some of the things that we grew up with. You have to do what I say do and not as I do, but still, back then, we could deal with that because we had the discipline with it. But they don't even have the discipline with it today, you know. Oh, I see we have two callers that have joined us tonight. The last four digits is 0565 and 8108. Would either of you have, I know 8108 just joined, but 0565, you've been there for a minute. Would you like to join in on the conversation tonight?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. Well, just listen. Thank you for joining us, okay?
Oh, this is Cassava. I'm sorry. This is
Cassava. Hey, honey. How are you? Thank you.
I'm
for
writing yourself. I'm just listening to what you all have to say about young mothers or mothers in general, and it's pretty interesting.
Okay. Well, what would you have to say about a young mother these days? I know that you work with a lot of the young children that are coming up. What would be your take on what's going on with them? See, you know I'm going to make you talk.
The mindset. It's the mindset.
It's the mindset of the parent or the child?
It's the mindset.
Okay.
Well, both. It's the mindset of both. It's the mindset of the grandmother, who's the mother to the mother, to the child. So it's the mindset. Because to me, it's like the younger they are, it's some things that still isn't developed. I mean, it's the mindset. And in the midst of you becoming a mother, you still want to go out and party, so you're competing against your own child. I mean, it's the mindset. It's the mindset.
Well, do you have a lot of parents that are easily let their children being easily influenced by those outside the home, or is it in the home? Because what do you see that being?
Absolutely outside and inside, because it all depends on what's going on inside the home, but a lot of things that are going on outside the home is easily influencing the children. So we really have to be in prayer and pray that, you know, like Pastor Henderson said, you know, our light needs to be shining. We need to show them that it is a better way and try to help prevent this from happening to others who think it is cool to be a mother at an early age. And they're not ready. They're not ready. They think they're ready. But they're not really. They're fascinated over the baby bump, not understanding that reality is reality. You are a mother, and that bump that's bumped in your stomach, it has to come out. Then it's time for you to take care of the child. So it's mixed emotions all off of that.
Okay. Well, what are ladies, tell me about your take on the grandmothers that are raising the kids these days instead of the parents. Do you feel that that's a good thing, or is it, does it need to, do these grandmothers need to back up and say, no, you're going to take care of your kid, or what do you think about it? And I'm talking about the older grandmothers. I'm not talking about the ones that's 33. I'm talking about the ones that are in their 50s and 60s and 70s that are taking care of these younger children. Yeah.
I don't think it's fair for our elderly grandparents to be taking care of them. I mean, that's just added pressure. It's added pressure. Now, I can see if something has happened to the parents and, you know, a grandmother, grandparents are going to be grandparents. They don't want to see their grandchildren, you know, in the hands of somebody else. So, of course, they're going to, you know, give it their all. But if it's one of those parents that's just not stepping up to the plate or something, I don't know. I just look at the fact that when you're talking about elderly grandparents, let them be grandparents. I mean,
and enjoy their life.
It's mixed emotions on that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing is, if
they're in their 70s, they're really not taking care of them. Because first they don't have the energy to keep up with them. And it's really the youth is ruling the house, because you can tell them what time to be in, but if they know that you can't run with them, they're just as disobedient to you as they were, you know, to their mom or to their dad. And also, I guess it just depends on what age they were when the grandparent or the great-grandparent got them. Because some youth are with their grandparents, and they're very, very disciplined and very, very mammable. And then you have some grandparents that have their grandchildren. They look like they're 80, and they're only 59. You know, so it's just opinion.
Yeah. What kind of lifestyle that they're living
exactly.
also.
Exactly.
Yeah, because some of them don't have anything to pull from, so therefore they don't have any structure, because there's no structure in the grandparent. You know,
exactly.
You got
and that's
those
what I was saying, it just goes from generation to generation to generation.
Yes,
I'm the first.
They don't understand that they have the opportunity to break that curse by living a holy life or a clean life, not, you know, for those that just don't want to say that they religious or they don't want to be, you know, involved in with Christ, where they can still live a wholesome life in front of their children
Correct.
To give them structure, you know,
Correct.
And to keep them from the pitfalls of today's society. And that's the way that we can lead them into being better children or better individuals when they grow up.
Right.
And, you know, just making sure that everything is on the up and up. Because when we were, like you were saying, when we were growing up, we couldn't go over folks' house and spend the night or go to the parties and stuff unless mom done checked it out. They doing over there at your house? I need to talk to the parents over there.
Nowadays, one parent don't know that the child has gone to this house. Another parent don't know that your child is even there.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, and I'm like, whoop.
See, and that wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When we was growing up,
exactly.
that wasn't going to happen. You're not going to do that. I'm going to know these people. I'm going to know what's going on at their house. I'm going to know who they are and who's coming in at 12 or 1, 2 o'clock in the nighttime. And if you're going to spend the night. And we didn't spend no nights, okay?
Right.
We barely
spent the night with relatives, so let alone friends.
That is
they wanted all their children in their house under one roof where they knew where they were.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
what
and
they
accounted
say,
for.
And you remember what they used to say, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are?
I tell you what, when they stopped that, they made us stop keeping up with where they were.
Okay. See. But we were already doing it. Our parents were already doing it before they said 10.
Exactly.
Because if you didn't come in the house,
you better be in the house
for
the streetlight. Come on.
Okay.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
when the streetlight came on, I want to know where all of my children is.
You better be on the other side of the door.
Okay.
But you know, the word of God in Proverbs 31 makes a mom really examine herself, because the word says her children will raise up and call her blessed. And the only way that can happen, that means as mothers, we have to be living the life according to the word and doing something worthwhile for our children to raise up and call us blessed.
Yes. They have to see us. They have to
see
us.
Because if we're not, they're not going to raise up and rise up, and neither are they going to call us blessed. Because you have some children calling their mom by their first name. I wish they would.
Okay. Come on, now. Do it.
You know, we do.
Do it if you want to.
Oh, that's just Betty. Who's that? What, isn't that your mom, yeah? You know, first name basis, like we homegirl, homeboy. No, you know, my youngest daughter bought me a really, really nice shabby chic poster thing for my glass saying to sit on my dresser on my office, on my desk at church, and it says, always my mother, now let me get up and read it right, always my mother, forever my friend. Because as the respect level grows, I'll forever be the mom. But there are times when they need me to be their friend as well.
That's true. Yes, but you couldn't start out being a friend.
And we're able to do that without losing the respect level of who I am.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That is most definite, because those that try to be friends with their children, that does not work out well at all, because
no.
You lose all kind of respect. They lose all kind of respect for you, and you have to instill the fear of God in them as mom instead of friend.
Right. You have to lay that foundation first. I'm the authoritative figure. You know, I'm the head, he in the house. You know, and you can be that friend long as the respect level does not change or alter.
That is correct. You are so right
about
it.
Because there are times when our children come to us, they need a friend. And if that's you, then you need to be a friend and not a mom at the time. And then when it's over, you're still one and the same. It's just that when they come to you for different things, you just have to be able to be those things that they need you to be when they come.
That's very true.
Like now when the girls come to me, they say, okay, I'm talking to you as my pastor. Okay, so I know to take off everything, put on the pastor cap. Okay, now I'm talking to you as mama. Mama, okay. Then, you know, like my grandbabies call me Pastor Nana. I said, okay, whichever one comes to mind, but the thing about it is I'm still one and the same.
That's correct.
Just have to be able to shift according to where they need me.
Yes. And then you get the respect all the way around.
Yes.
You it's no
all the way
got,
around.
Respect is just respect. All the
That's
way.
Right.
Whether you nana, whether you pastor, whether you granny or mama.
Exactly.
Still
and you saw that at the
respect.
Pink tie. You
yes,
saw
ma'am.
That at the pink tie from the members to my family to my grandkisses, which are my granddaughters. I call my grandchildren grandkisses. And, you know, to all of that, but I thank God for that, because it's just not at home. It's seen in the streets. It's seen wherever we go, because the foundation has been laid.
That is correct, and that's what we have to do. That's where we started. We start at home when they're babies, and make sure that they know what no and yes means. You know, I see a lot of these little children run around these stores or out in public embarrassing their parents because what they did at home was cute, but when you get out in public, now you're embarrassed when you should have stopped.
That means no training. Because if he jumped from the sofa to the floor now, from the end table over to the chair, he's going to do the same thing when you go out. Whatever they do at home, what they're going to do,
do
you want them to do different, But they can't because you're not teaching them anything different.
Right, right. You're not stopping it at the core because that's where it needs to be stopped at the core. But I am in agreement with that we have to train our children up from the beginning, from infants, very small these days, because these children come here wise and even wiser. You know, you have newborns doing stuff that
every generation
our newborns didn't even do.
We didn't even think that they would do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's the sign of a good mother, a sign of a good parent that's going to keep your kids structured, and from the beginning of life, you know, up until their adulthood. And then, like you said, their mother, they will be blessed. They can call their mother blessed. Yes, ma'am. And I wanted to know if 8108 had any comments tonight, or was that Keshava?
No, she was 0565.
Okay.
Hello.
8108.
Hey, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just listening to the different comments that everybody was making as far as being young parents, young mothers, and agreeing with the grandmothers, help raising the kids. You know, I have to think about myself when I was young. I had my son at 24, so I was considered a young mother. But I guess when I had my son, I didn't just put my son on everybody, not even my mom. You know, she only kept him whenever I needed to, if I wanted to get away, you know, at that time, when back in the days when we was doing what we needed to do, you know, go out and have yourself a ball or have yourself some fun. But it's just, to me, it's just a time and a season for all of that. Now, I see these young parents, they hit the street every weekend. Every day they out and they have kids, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's the difference between them and now. I just think the young parents, some of them are out of control. I don't agree with the fact that you let your kids, and especially as time changed, you got a lot of perverts out there. You got a lot of men that fools with children, and even in your own family. And I just don't agree that some women, some girls will leave their kids trusting family members. That's where the molestation started, especially at the age of five.
In the incest,
so I just
think,
yes, incest. So I believe that young parents need to think and cover their kids a little bit more than what they're doing, because time, and this stuff was going on back then, even back when we were growing up. You know, molestation started way back then. It just didn't start in this generation. It was generations prior to this.
Right.
But it's just now it's been exposed. And I remember one day I was on praying, and the Lord told me to call everyone that has kids and even the grandparents, let them know to watch who they put in their kids into the hands of.
Wow.
And I had to call everybody up that I knew that had kids and grandkids and told them to be aware, be careful who you're leaving in your kids into their hands, uncles, aunties, whoever, cousins, whoever they may be. You don't leave your kids with everybody trusting them because you want to go out and have yourself a good time. We have heard so many stories, and they even leaving with the not even the baby's father, but the stepdads that are killing the kids because they're crying, because they're doing all kind of stuff. They're not made aware of that. They don't think it'll happen to them until it actually happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it on the news, and you hear that these stepfathers ain't caring nothing about your kids.
Mm-mm.
You go out, you leave them, you want to go out and hang out, you come up, they molested, they come up, they beating. You know, I just think the young kids and the mothers are not telling them, hey, you created this baby, you need to be at home, and I'll help you if there's a need of helping you.
Right.
I had to daycare, I had to carry Pampers upstairs, I had to wash and carry my son upstairs. I didn't leave my son with, I was very protective of him because my mind said, if I leave him with somebody, who's going to fool with him?
Exactly.
I mean, that's just being cautious. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, even the grandmothers, and, you know, the grandmother can leave the child at home with the uncle, and the uncle is sick-minded in his head, and he'll start fooling with the little girl or the little boys.
Right.
So, and even when I was a single parent, and still is, you know, I was very, even with men, my son, he tells me all the time, I didn't bring men in and out of my son because I know they were little boys too. So I didn't have different men coming in, different ones that I dated, and the only time that I brought any man over is I set my son, say, hey, look, you know, I'm thinking about dating this guy. We've been dating a couple of more months, you know, so I'm just kind of like, this is who you will probably see. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to work out, but I'm going to give it a chance. So if you see him coming over here, you would just see him. And if I decide to date him, I didn't have men running in and out because one thing
right.
I wanted my son
right.
to respect me as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the foundation I laid for my son so that I gave mm-hmm. him respect when he was a boy, when he was a baby. I'm
right.
a mother. I have whoever I want. That wasn't my attitude. I had a young man. I don't feel like that my young man should have to go sleep with every little girl that comes and creeps out because I didn't demonstrate that behavior
right.
in my home. So it's just the different
yes.
times we're living in, and I just believe the enemy has really gotten into a lot of the mindset of the people, blinding them and the grandmother. And I have a friend, and I feel so sorry for her because she's been her whole life, she retired, she's been with kids. It's like a daycare. She's running a daycare, even though the kids are working or whatever. But I just look at it, and I'm like, I'm excited to be a grandmother one day, but I'm not going to sit here and you know, keep kids and while you go out and do your thing. I'm going to help you, and I'm going to enjoy my grandbaby when I want to enjoy my grandbaby.
Right. That's me.
Amen. Amen.
That's what I feel.
Well said, Evangelist Williams. I just caught your voice.
Oh, you said you know, give me the choice. Look, y'all, give me the choice to be with him every day if I wanted to be with him. If it's a daughter,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's how I live my life, just like that.
That's how I live. Yeah, let me enjoy
it.
Not because you want to hit the street.
That's how I do it.
Yeah,
because
right.
like you said, I was hearing you guys were saying about being in the house. You know, my mom, them, my grandmother, they didn't play yet. You know, if we were outside, we had a certain time to come in the house because that was
yes,
their
Lord.
House. There is no mm-hmm. ground rules. The mother is partying with the girls, their daughters. They're going out with their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
They're smoking dope with their daughters. They're drinking with their
yeah.
daughters. You know, they're cussing around their mom and stuff like that. They have lost,
mm-hmm.
we're living in some bad times. But anyway.
Texas times, yes.
If we are. Yeah.
Yes.
So I think it's a good topic. Good topic.
Amen. We are down to our last 8 minutes, and I would like for our listeners, our panel tonight that's on, to leave us with some tips for the younger mothers that are coming up. And I want to start with Keshava, and then we'll go with Evangelist Williams, and then we will have Beverly, and then we will end with Minister Henderson. So each of you got 2 minutes. Let's do this.
I would say seek godly, wise counsel. That's all I could say.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist Williams.
Did we lose her?
Brenda?
I'm sorry. I'm here. I heard everything y'all said. I always mute my phone because, you know, I don't like to, you know, to entertain the background noise. So it was on mute.
Okay.
I would say what the first caller said. She said, seek godly counseling. Get with people, older people that can be able to help train how to be a young and a successful single parent. That's what I would say.
Amen. Thank you. Beverly?
I think that perhaps the older women need to set up a forum where we invite some young women and without criticizing them, give them some guidance and understanding about what it takes to be a quote-unquote successful mother, if there is one, but to be a secure woman and a confident mother. And I have this little poem that I wanted to read to you guys, and I always search for poems when we're talking about stuff because sometimes they hit the point when nothing else can. This is a guiding light, Mom. It says, Mom, from the time I was really young, I realized I had someone, you. who always cared, who always protected me, who was always there for me no matter what. You taught me right from wrong. You pushed me to do the right thing, even when it was hard to do. You took care of me when I was sick, and your love helped me make me well. You had rules, and I learned that when I obeyed them, my life was simpler, better, richer. You were and are the guiding light of my life. My heart is filled with love for you, my teacher, my friend, my mother. And I think that's what we need to, older women, the Bible does tell older women to guide the young. I think that we could do some of these through some of our nonprofit organizations, start having some forums where we teach the young women to be kinder, to be gentler, and not look at this material stuff as a way of achieving success. And always having to be out in the clubs, that doesn't always guarantee fun. It's just being out there doing what you think you're supposed to do. But I think we need to start spending a little more time with our young women and teaching them how to be women, how to be better mothers. And it might help one or two kids to have a better home. So I think we need to step up our game and start talking to some young women. You might get a group of 10 women, two of them you might hit, but that's two of them that you help to have a better home and to give them. I think we had a good time as young kids. We didn't have all the things that these kids have, but I had a stable home. I had a family that I could count on. I knew what my mom was going to be there. I'm like this poem, she had rules, I had to obey. And I think we need to step up the older women and teach some of our younger women how to be the mothers that we had. They weren't perfect, but they were at home, and you knew where they were. They cooked a good meal. They cleaned your clothes. And you never went out in public with the mom looking good and the kid looked like, you know, it's God wears the child's clothing. I've met mothers where the mother's dressed up and the kid doesn't have any shoes on. So I think we need to, as older women, step up and kind of guide some of these young women there where there's no guidance in the home.
Well, amen. Well, my comment to the younger women and generation today coming up, first of all, you have to learn to love and respect yourself as a mother and a woman. You have to know your boundaries. You have to be prepared to go with and take care of yourself and your kids in the right way. Love yourself, and then you can love your children. But the most important thing I would tell you is to be there for your kids. Be a mother for them. Show them the right direction to go in. Make sure that they have what they need. Make sure that you are there giving them the love and the attention that they need. And therefore, you can reciprocate also, because you will be giving and getting. Because if you love them, they'll love you, and you'll all grow together in love and peace and respect for each other. That's my gift to the young ladies tonight. Minister Henderson.
I agree with everything that's been said on tonight. One main advice that's running through my mind right now is insanity. And insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So for anyone in our listening audience on tonight, whether married, single, divorced, widowed, it doesn't matter, just a woman that's looking for something different, it takes making a 180-degree turn. Mm. And when you're ready to make that turn, when you make a decision that you're ready, I promise you God will bless a teacher to appear, because a teacher always appears when the student is ready. So when you're tired of repeating the cycle, that means you're tired of being insane. Because insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Amen.
And that's what I like to say.
Amen. Well, God bless you ladies for being with us tonight. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all those that
thank
are mothers
you.
That are listening. And also I want to thank you for your support in joining us tonight. If you just listen tonight, we thank you. If you commented tonight, we thank you. And like I said, happy Mother's Day to the mothers that are on the line. And tell your mom, if she's here with us, that you love her and that you thank her for being the mom that she was. I'm going to close with a prayer. I love you, all mothers.
Thank you, darling.
God bless each of you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our mothers tonight, right now, dear God. God, we just thank you for this opportunity to share with our listening audience, our sisters that need this uplifting undergirding tonight. God bless each one that is here tonight. Bless those that are listening that have not said anything. Bless those that are in need of a blessing, God. Help us to be a blessing to someone as we go forth on the days to come. Help us to just undergird our sisters and love them more and be available for their needs and help them to lead a life that's pleasing unto God. God, we do thank you. We praise you and we honor you tonight. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Again, I say thank you, ladies. Have a good one, and I will be talking to each of you soon.
All
love
right.
you.
All right.
All right.
Love
good
you
night.
All.
You too.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.